listening to Law and Gospel here on Worldwide KFUO on this Insight Wednesday, July the 29th in the year of our Lord 2015. And being an Insight Wednesday, we're going to be talking about a subject that really is on the minds of a lot of people. I have received a number of letters and emails from people having real problems with the homosexual agenda themselves, some of them being homosexual. And so I have two things I'd like to do right now. The first one is a request to the pastors in the St. Louis area, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod pastors, of course. Some years ago, I had a good friend pastor who was involved in helping homosexuals get out of that addiction and return, repent, come back to the Lord. I don't know of anybody doing that in the St. Louis area. Now, there may be a pastor. Every now and then, we all have, as pastors, certain little hobbies we do on the side. But this particular pastor would meet with homosexuals. And in fact, I attended a meeting with him once where they were attempting to have a homosexual service at a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, which we were happy to be able to stop by attending. Be that as it may, if there's anybody in the St. Louis area who knows somebody who's pretty expert at helping homosexuals break out of that addiction, don't hesitate to let me know. The email address is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. I just can't keep up with a number of individuals wanting to talk to me. And I think we really need to get them involved with a pastor, perhaps, who has a worship service in town so they can begin attending there. One example was a individual who wrote me and is kind of involved with a former church of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, who has now become ELCA. And unfortunately, the advice he is receiving there is quite contrary to the Word of God. So just a personal question. Any pastors who are interested in this form of ministry, please let me know. I've got some names for you. Second point, being Insight Wednesday, number of people are writing, and there's a lot of information about that, as to whether or not a Christian can attend a homosexual wedding, where either two men or two women are getting married. Now, our own Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, has come out with some items. I don't think I'm going contrary to any of them. But some of this, of course, is my personal opinion. It's, you know, founded on the Scriptures. But on the other hand, if somebody wants to disagree with me at this point, I'm not going to make a big deal about it. But what should be the reaction of a Christian who is invited to a friend's homosexual wedding? You may want to talk about this. You may have some insights I'm unaware of. Numbers in St. Louis are 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. My personal opinion is that I would not attend a homosexual or gay wedding, because every time a person attends a wedding, they are there to celebrate the event and to celebrate that which is an abomination before Almighty God is simply not proper. I may have a good friend, and I have had good friends who are homosexual. I try and keep a relationship with them, but on the other hand, I will not participate in what God says is contrary to His holy word. The thing that strikes me as soon as I think of a homosexual wedding is 1 Kings chapter 18 and Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Ooh. How can you compare a homosexual wedding to the prophets of Baal? Well, many people may be aware of the fact that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has already adopted a resolution where we no longer recognize the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America as truly Lutheran. Not only because of their false communion practices, not only because of their pro-abortion stance, but also because they even ordain women who are lesbian and men who are homosexual, and they will be conducting these kinds of marriages. Now, there's an important point to remember. When the prophets of Baal, they kind of had a contest with Elijah. Both of them had altars with sacrificed bulls on them. And the prophets of Baal, to prove that their God is the right God, were praying to Baal to bring fire down on the altar. And of course, they did it all morning into the afternoon. And finally, nothing was happening. In fact, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep, and you must awaken him." In fact, these prophets of Baal use swords to cut themselves. Remember, blood gushing upon a person would be something that therefore would be very important to that god. It shows how much you love him. But nothing happened. In fact, here's what the Bible said. No one answered, no one paid attention. Now, how can I liken that to a gay marriage? God does not recognize a marriage as being a marriage between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. It really doesn't matter what the leader of that particular religion says, what words they say. Yes, the state may recognize it as a marriage, but God doesn't. It's very much like abortion. The state may recognize the right of a Jewish doctor to kill Jewish females in the womb. Yeah, the state may recognize that, but God doesn't. It's an abomination. So the first point I want to make, I can't think of one time that Jesus ever participated in idolatrous worship. Oh, you're saying these people worship an idol? Well, what is an idol? An idol is what you trust. And if you have a view of God that trusts in him authorizing marriage between a man and a man and a woman and a woman, that isn't the God of the Bible. That obviously is an idol. And therefore, I can't imagine having any other ceremony where something is happening. For example, would you attend a ceremony where two people have decided to live together, even if they're male and female, in order to test things out, and they want to have a big party that they're going to move in with each other? Well, would you attend that? Hopefully you would not, because that would be condoning sin. So, looking at it from God's point of view, there is no way Jesus would attend a gay marriage. Our numbers here, as I said, are 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go ahead and speak here with Mike. Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, I do have the answer to your question, and they answered it on Thy Strong Word, the show that comes on from 11 to 12, in that they're going through the book of Corinthians, and it's the law of liberty. So you could go to a gay marriage, but it's just not a good idea.
Okay, I have to say I did not hear that, and I'd be very surprised if they authorized going to a gay marriage, because we don't have the liberty to participate in sin. And that's what you would be doing. You'd be participating in that sinful relationship. God doesn't recognize that as a marriage. And therefore, In my opinion, and I'll be glad, I don't know who was on Thy Strong Word or when it occurred, but I'd like to talk to that individual. I'd be very surprised if, on the basis of liberty, they would allow you to do that. In fact, I know organists who are no longer playing for weddings if it's a gay wedding. Can't you say that they have the liberty to do that? No. They don't want to participate and celebrate what is, from God's point of view, an abomination to Almighty God. You do not want to fool around with false worship, because not very good things are going to be happening. In Numbers, for example, chapter 3, there's two prophets under Moses, and they do a worship service where they end up doing something that God forbade them to do. Numbers chapter 3, they're the sons of Aaron, Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu. These are the names of the sons of Aaron. They were anointed priests. God ordained them to be priests. Guess what? Listen to verse 4. But Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. That's also explained further in Leviticus chapter 10. This was unauthorized worship. Does God authorize a worship service where you're having a gay marriage? Of course not. So that's what my opinion would be, that we need to give a witness to these poor people who are caught in the grip of Satan as they end up doing things that are totally an abomination before Almighty God. As I said, the state may recognize it as a marriage, but God does not. And what we need to do is follow God. Now, here's a question somebody would say. Well, wait a minute. We know you, Pastor Baker. You're a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You're in disagreement with certain teachings of other Christian denominations like Roman Catholicism. Are you saying that you would not attend a wedding in a Roman Catholic church? Well, let me answer that. If the wedding is between a male and a female, and it follows the laws of the land, then, guess what? I don't care if it's a Roman Catholic church, a Baptist church, a Methodist church, where I would disagree with some of their theology. I don't care if it's a cult. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. In fact, I don't even care if it's a false religion, like Islam. If I had a friend that was getting married in those particular sanctuaries and he invited me to come, I probably would come, because it's a valid marriage. Valid marriages are not done because all of your doctrine is correct. No. In fact, you don't even have to be married in a sanctuary or by a religion. A lot of people don't realize this, but the way that pastors marry people is we have become officials of the state. We have the right to do that marriage as an official of the state. So, by the way, those who are concerned, well, what happens if you refuse to marry in a gay situation? Well, first of all, pastors refuse to marry a lot of people all the time. And we do so even if they're members of the church, depending on the circumstances. So we have no problem in saying no to a marriage. But if the government got so strong and went against freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and said you're going to lose your tax exemption if you don't marry gay people, well, we still won't do it. You see, what gay people need to realize, the church will never change its position. Just as the church has never changed its position on abortion. We just have to wait until things start falling apart. And look at with this Planned Parenthood. Now we have people, and these are these videos that you're seeing, where individuals are selling baby parts. I don't want to get into it too much. It's a family show here. But be that as it may, I don't understand why this has caused a furor in the country. Did people not know what an abortion was? But that's another subject. And now we're getting a greater and greater percentage of people who are now opposed to abortion than were formerly. And it will get worse because I understand these people have a whole bunch of videos, maybe up to 100 of them, and they'll just put one out every 2 weeks. And each one is worse than the former. We just saw the third one yesterday. So time is on the side of the Christian. God makes a promise in Hebrews that those who participate in ongoing sin will bring judgment upon themselves. So the point I'm trying to make is you want to keep a relationship with individuals, even those you oppose, even gay people. Why? Because there's going to be a time coming when their life is going to start falling apart, according to the promise of God. And you want to be available for them to explain why this is happening and then to give the comfort of the gospel to those who repent of their sin. So I'm not saying that you should hate homosexuals or despise them or not be involved with them. No, you're going to find them at your workplace, in your neighborhood, maybe friends of your children. But you're not going to participate with them in doing that which is contrary to the will of God. So I could not possibly celebrate the marriage of two gay people any more than I could celebrate what the man-boy group is trying to do, that they can, you know, fool around with little children and make that legal. How would you like to go to that ceremony? Well, hopefully Christians will realize they ought not to. So I make a big distinction between what marriage is in the state and what marriage is in God's eyes. God simply does not recognize a marriage unless it's done according to his will. And the main thing is a man shall leave his parents and join with a woman. That's why we have two sexes. I've never understood this. The only way that gay marriage would work is if there's no difference between male and female in the raising of children. And there's a tremendous difference. Mothers are really important. Fathers are really important. And when you don't have a mother or a father, just talk about what's happening in a lot of the big cities where fathers impregnate a woman, then they leave her. And she is all by herself in raising children. Take a look at the rate of murders in Chicago, New York, and other places where there is not a father and a mother to help raise a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In my one of my congregations, we had a whole bunch of families that only had a mother. But because they were Christian and because they really worked hard, they would be bringing their children up properly. But it was really difficult to do that. Why would we want to support the division of male and female in the sense of saying, well, there's really not any difference? You know, I'll tell you when I will believe that is when we get rid of women's tennis and women's soccer. If there's no difference between a man and a woman, then if a woman wants to play tennis on the pro circuit, she's got to play against men. And the women's soccer players got to try and join the men's soccer team. But you know how long that's going to last. Because in those areas, everybody recognizes that's simply not going to happen. Now, even in golf, women's tees are placed closer to the green than the men's tees. Well, why is that? Because there's a recognition that there is a difference between male or female. I'm male. I'm a father. I don't have the gifts that my wife had in helping to raise our children. There's just something different there, and that's why a valid marriage is only a marriage in God's eyes. So, from God's point of view, there's two things that we want to be talking about today. Why I would not attend a homosexual wedding is, number one, it has an idol as God. Because just like the prophets of Baal, I tell you, there was a real problem in Elijah's day. Now, you would think, here's Elijah, here's the prophets of Baal, and you would think the people would say, oh, we definitely believe the Lord. But I want to read to you 1 Corinthians 18. If this isn't a lot of people in the United States, Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, and the word Lord there is all in capitals, referring to Yahweh, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. How did the people answer? You ready? And the people did not answer him a word. Wow. You see, they weren't sure. And there's a lot of people not sure today. Just because you refuse to go to a homosexual wedding doesn't mean that you may not love that person and want to still have a relationship with them so that you can help them when things start falling apart. For example, I have spoken with some homosexuals, and let's say I'm going to have a Bible study as to why homosexuality is an abomination. And they say, I'm not coming to your Bible study because I don't agree with you. Do they have the right to say that? Absolutely. Nobody can force anybody to a Bible study. Nobody can force anybody to think in a way that they're not ready to think. Now, I would hope they would come to the Bible study so that we could have a conversation, a dialogue, a debate. But if they refuse to do so, in the United States of America, they have the right to do that. So why don't we as Christians have the right not to participate in immoral worship services? If we as Christians want to give a witness, sometimes the best way to give a witness is not to attend. That's my personal opinion, but I want to be clear. I don't care if a man and a woman are getting married at another denomination or a cult or even in a false religion. I could attend that wedding because we're talking here about a valid marriage. I would see attending, even if it was a worship service, I wouldn't participate in the worship service. For example, if it was a Roman Catholic wedding and they were praying to Mary to thank God for the marriage of these two people, I would not pray with them. But I would be looking at the entire ceremony in the same way as if I was attending a Justice of the Peace worship service. Well, which reminds me, a point I wanted to make, is if the government comes down and says, if you won't marry, conduct gay marriages, we're going to take away your tax-exempt status, then all we would do is have the people get married by a justice of the peace, and then we would have a worship service celebrating that marriage. There's been times when the church would do that. The government would do the official marriage, as when I was in Novosibirsk, Siberia. One of our seminarians was getting married, and we went to the justice of the peace. And some one woman married them. Took about 5 minutes, no mention of God or anything. Then we went back and had a wonderful kind of a worship service as well as a celebration. No problem with that. The church here is to help give advice to Christians. And if you have any questions on that, we're bringing in Wes Reimnitz tomorrow. And so you can phone us and question what we had to say today, give us some other advice, or maybe we're missing something. And if we are, then I'm only too happy to try and have it corrected. Tomorrow, by the way, we are going to be talking about what is the reaction now of the church to the Boy Scout decision to permit homosexual men to be leaders over young boys. I guess if the announcement had been by the Roman Catholic Church that they are now going to authorize priests who are homosexuals to be priests, I wonder what kind of reaction we would get from the people. How is it different to have homosexuals leading your young boys? It's on tomorrow's subject, and we'll be glad to take calls on that also. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. You like to support the program, please listen to what follows. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com.